I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. While many of you were enjoying your holiday, we were enjoying bringing you our interview with Denzel Washington, director and star of The Great Debaters. It opened on Christmas Day. Unfortunately, we hear that many of you missed this conversation. So this being the season of giving, we thought we'd give you a second chance. The Great Debaters is the story of Melvin B. Tolson and the winning debate teams he coached at Wiley College during the Depression years. Here's a short clip.
Gentlemen and lady, debate is combat, but your weapons are words.
Debate is blood sport. You must destroy your opponent, not only verbally, but physically.
The film has already received praise, earning a Golden Globe nomination for Best Picture. The project's been in the works for 10 years. I asked Denzel Washington why it took so long to make this film.
Well, you know, sometimes films take that long. I mean, I've been involved with the project for 4 years. And Oprah Winfrey's company bought the rights to the story about 10 years ago. And I don't know what they were doing for 6 years. But, you know, working on the script. And so, again, it came to me about 4 years ago. And I was developing the material between acting jobs. And about a year ago, we went before the cameras.
You mentioned that Oprah Winfrey, her production company, Harpo Films, co-produced the film. Did that factor into your decision to direct the project or get involved?
Actually, no. I mean, it's a good thing, but I didn't do the film because of that. I mean, I just responded to the material. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really good story. I was moved when I read it. And initially, you know, I had no intention of acting in the picture, but they wouldn't give me the money to directed if I didn't act it, you know.
Really?
Not me personally, but the budget. It was a different budget if I was in it than if I was not in it, and I felt we needed that budget in order to make the film the way I wanted to make it.
So you really didn't want to be in it?
No, I had no intention of acting in it.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit more, but before we do, I did want to ask about the directing. What is it about directing that you enjoy? This is your second film. You directed mm-hmm. Antoine Fisher, mm-hmm. which is very well received, mm-hmm. Also acted in it. But what is it about the directing that you're enjoying?
I enjoy collaborating with other people. You know, as an actor, you sort of work on your part, and then you sit in your trailer until they call you, and you do your bit, and you shoot the film for a month or two or five or whatever it is. And then you go home, and the material belongs to the director, and he or she cuts and edits and does what they want with the material. It's a movie is a director's medium. It's his or her canvas. And, you know, I didn't just want to be a color of paint anymore. I wanted to paint my own pictures. And I think it's almost, well, for me, it was just a natural progression over time. I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of great directors. So I hopefully learned something just watching them. You know, and again, the desire to tell my own stories, to paint my own pictures.
Well, speaking of telling your own stories, when you first read the screenplay, what is it that struck you?
I was just moved. I was like, wow, these four kids. I mean, I play Tolson, and he's the coach, and he makes the speeches and, you know, rah, rah, rah. But it's basically the core of the story is with these four young kids who go on to debate, and in particular about this one young man whose name, unbelievably, is Denzel Whitaker. I can't believe it. And I told him, your name has nothing, is not helping you get this part. But this young
kid. It is kind of freaky, though.
It is freaky because Forrest Whitaker's in it and Denzel Washington's in it, and the kid's name is Denzel Whitaker. No relation to either one of
us. I was going to say, his poor mama is getting all kinds
mama.
Of questions.
Yeah,
it's just,
well, it's
you know,
turning out all right for him
true,
right now.
True, true.
It ain't that bad.
But anyway, so, you were saying.
Yeah, he just delivers a magnificent performance. The core of the story is really what happens in his family and him becoming a man.
Did you have a Melvin Tolson in your life when you were coming along and when you were his age?
You know, I've talked, I've been working with the Boys and Girls Clubs for years, and I've talked about my mentor there, Billy Thomas, and other guys. When I started acting, I had a mentor by the name of Bob Stone, a couple of them, but in particular Bob Stone, who was an actor and a casting agent, and he's passed away now. But when I was 22 years old, he really believed in me and talked about what he thought was going to happen in my life and career then. But for someone to believe in you, which is, again goes back to the point of the story, for someone to believe in you and to express that to you at an impressionable age really gives you the incentive, the drive, hey, maybe I do have something. And Mel Tolson and Dr. Farmer, who Forrest Whitaker plays, and these other professors, that's what they did. They instilled confidence. They were taskmasters. They were tough educators, you know, but they instilled this level of confidence. I was able to interview some of the actual debaters and Mel Tolson's sons, they all talked about how confident they were. They were not afraid to go up against national champions or any school because these professors had instilled this confidence in them and they were prepared.
Was there a key, forgive me, I'm not an actor, so I don't exactly know how you go about getting into a character, but is there something that you honed in on in figuring out how you wanted to play Tolson?
I gave myself a crazy haircut. you never know. You know, sometimes
I thought it was fly. Sorry. I didn't know it was supposed to be crazy.
Like I said, I gave myself a fly haircut.
It was a little
haircut.
70s, but...
Yeah, a little 70s. No, it was 30s. It was retro. By 70s, they were just going back to the 30s. It was a 20s cut.
It was fly. I said it was fly.
Thank you.
There was a little...
I'm not attacking you now.
What is it, the stuff that y'all put
look
in there?
Look at the picture
the
now.
Dap.
Look at the picture of me now. Calm down. But it really depends upon the role. Sometimes you portraying Reuben Hurricane Carter, I got in the gym a couple of years early. Sometimes it's something you do physical. Sometimes it's something more from the inside out. There's no one way. I don't have any one technique or this is what I do all the time other than I begin to do the research. You start to read about Melvin Tolson. You read about the school. You know, in some ways, I consider myself an investigative reporter.
He wasn't all sweetness and light. One of the things I like about the film is that you point out that he was kind of a benevolent dictator. In fact, I have a clip. I have a clip I want to play. Here it is.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
And see, they cut off the, you know, I've seen this clip, but they cut off the best part, which is keep your righteous mind, because obviously you have lost it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the young man tries to challenge Tolson.
Exactly. I was going to say, give the background of the scene, if you would.
Actually, this was a scene that wasn't even in the movie. I sort of worked with the writer and wrote this into the story, because I always have been fascinated by that Willie Lynch letter. And I turned it into sort of a debating lesson, if you will. It was actually, originally written, it was a story about Tolson, what his father had done and what kind of speaker he was. And I just wanted something a little more cutting and edgy. So.
Well, there are a number of things about this scene that are important. One is that the film provides these history lessons throughout. They are part of the film. But secondly, the character of Henry Lowe, played by Nate Parker, has the temerity to try to get in your business and
exactly.
say, you know, exactly who are you?
Right.
And and he just says, oh, I don't think so. Let's understand who you were talking to here.
Right.
But what struck me about it is that he was kind of a benevolent dictator. If you interview people who knew him, say he didn't brook a lot of dissent. And isn't it? It's kind of funny, though, that on the one hand, he's teaching these kids how to think for themselves and to stand up for their rights. On the other hand, you know, he didn't want a lot of contradiction. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it was a different time. There wasn't time for niceties. You know, 60, 50 years before that, there were no colleges for black students. Every professor understood the importance of education. And In his particular case, I guess it wasn't a democracy; it was a dictatorship. I mean, everyone that I talked to that were students of his loved him.
If you're just joining us, we're listening to a rebroadcast of my conversation with Denzel Washington. Washington is the star and director of The Great Debaters, which opened on Christmas Day. In a moment, we'll get back to the conversation, but first, let's hear another clip from the film. In this scene, Washington, who plays Melvin B. Tolson, tells one of his students about trying out for the Wiley College debate team.
I remember you a couple of years ago, and you disappeared. What happened?
I come and go whenever it suits me.
Suspensions?
Leaves of absence.
Why'd you come back?
School's the only place you can read all day, except prison.
I want you to come by my house tonight, 7:30, corner of Junior Campus.
Why would I do that?
Holding tryouts for the debate team.
You You sure you want somebody like me?
No. That's why you're trying out. 7:30, June in campus.
And now back to my conversation with Denzel Washington. Are you a little bit of a benevolent dictator at home? In fact, I hear there's a line in the film that came from you.
Do what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that to my children. I don't know where I got that from, but I know it had something to do with them wanting to go out before they could do homework. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way in life. You know, yeah, we live in a fast food society. We are educating and teaching our young people, well, you can have what you want when you want it. Well, you can't. You know, and they come of age and they get out in the workplace and they find out it doesn't work like that. We're sending them, you know, not all of us, but sometimes we're sending them the wrong message. So the message my children have always gotten is that you do what you have to do first. Then you can do what you want to do. And you enjoy doing what you want to do, knowing that you have done what you needed to do.
Do you identify with Tolson, though, as a dad, though, which is, look, this is how it is. Love you, but this is how it is.
That's correct. I'll put it to you this way. My oldest son graduated from Morehouse and is a professional football player. My daughter is a sophomore in what could be considered the top school in the country. If they say Harvard, Yale, and Princeton are the top three, she's in one of those. She's doing pretty well. My two youngest children are both B-plus students and well on their way in the direction they want to go. So are there minefields out there for them? Absolutely. You know, life is tough enough. Has it been a perfect smooth ride? Absolutely not. But education is the key and a level of discipline. Are they allowed to run and just do anything they want to do? Heck no. You have to have rules. You have to have parameters.
Here's one detail in the film. Even though they beat the reigning champions, the right. Wiley team was not allowed to call itself the champions because they were not members of the Debating League. And the trick of that was that the Debating League did not admit blacks until after World War II. When you hear things like that, does it just make you nuts?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, no. No, it doesn't make me nuts. That's the way it was. And it was worse than that. Mm-hmm. That's our history, you know, in this country. That's the fact. It's important for listeners to understand this is a film about how these young people overcame the obstacles. It's not about a film about the obstacles. It's not a film about racism. It's a film about four young adults who, with this coach from this little tiny school in the northeast corner of Texas, were able to believe in themselves, study hard, and win. There's always something to point a finger at. Racism, this, that, it doesn't matter. There's always an excuse, and I'm not saying racism is an excuse, but what are you going to do about it? This movie's about what they did about it.
That is certainly true, but some people say that films based on historical periods don't always do as well as many of the critics think they should because they make black people angry and they make white people feel guilty, and who wants to go to the movies to feel either angry or guilty? Like, Glory was a fine film, Beloved was a fine film, didn't do as well as the critics thought they should, and I just wondered if you worry about that.
First of all, that's not true. You just mentioned a couple of films. Mm-hmm. But basically, that's fundamentally not true. I was in a film called Remember the Titans, which is about the same thing. It's the largest grossing sports movie, I think, of all time. That's not true. And it's not making black people angry or white people, whatever you said it was making them.
Guilty.
This is a film that, from what I've been experiencing in the theater, that makes people laugh, cry, and cheer. I don't think it's depressing at all.
Can I ask you, though, when you talk about experiencing things, you've dealt with difficult race issues in several films. You've been whipped. You've witnessed lynchings. You've been, assassinated. You've just dealt with a lot of difficult themes throughout your career where you've kind of dug into some of the more painful periods in African-American, in the history of us as a people. Does that take a toll on you?
No, I think it's an education. The common denominator in some of the films you mentioned that I played is not getting whipped. It's how we overcame that. You mentioned that I've done films about racism, and I haven't done necessarily films about that. I've done films about what people did to, in spite of that. Remember the Titans isn't a film about racial tension in Virginia in 1972. Remember the Titans is a film about how black and white people came together and kicked everybody's behind, no matter what color they were. So it's about how these kids came together. Great Debaters isn't a film about racism in 1935. These four young kids and their teacher overcame whatever obstacles were in their way. And the obstacles that were in their way weren't necessarily racism. They got the opportunity to debate the University of Southern California. In our film, we say Harvard because Harvard sounds better. But it's actually the University of Southern California. Yes, the fact of the matter was blacks were not allowed in the forensic society, in the debating society. But USC did give them the opportunity to debate them. They beat USC. The bottom line is they overcame whatever obstacles that were in their way.
Is there anybody in particular you're hoping will see this film? And is there anything in particular you're hoping they'll
get from
it? I
hope everybody goes to see it. And what I always say when people say, well, what do you expect people to get from a movie? I always say it depends upon what they bring to it. Mm-hmm. I don't expect them to get it's not a history lesson. I think it's a very entertaining and in a lot of ways fun and funny film. I think that, as I said, people have been responding to it. It moves some people to tears and to laughter and ultimately to cheer. And you know, that and a little popcorn will get it done.
So you've had quite a year. I mean, American Gangster, The Great Debaters. What's next for you?
Vacation. Actually, I'll be here next year in New York working with John Travolta and Tony Scott on a reinterpretation of The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, will you come back and talk to us about it?
Absolutely.
Well, one more thing. I was on my high school debate team. You think you could take me?
In debating?
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. No, I can't. But I know some people that could.
Oscar winner Denzel Washington is the director and star of the new film, The Great Debaters. He joined us from our bureau in New York. You can find links to the film on our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Mr. Washington, thank you for this film and thank you for your work.
Thank you.
For more on the film, including links and photos, you can check out our website, npr.org/tellmemore. And that's our program for today. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.